Now tonight I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, which is the great chapter on the chastening of the Lord, or the purifying of the Lord, how that God chastens or purifies or sanctifies His people. And that certainly is a wonderful chapter to read. But for sake of time, we're going to read at verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fall or fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this short reading from His own infallible Word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the fact that we can meet together to worship and to praise and to magnify the great and the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we bless Thee that Thou hast saved many of us by Thy grace. And we pray, Father, that Thou would strengthen Thy people. Help us, Lord, to walk lives that are well-pleasing to Thee and glorifying to Thy name. And Father, for any who know not the Lord, we pray that they might realize that they too need to be born again if they ever hope to go to glory, because we have read already that he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So, our Father, come, we pray, and grant that no soul will go without the blessing of the Lord this night, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I always think that this is the most wonderful and beautiful time of year, late spring, early summer. The weather is pleasant, the grass is green, the flowers are in bloom, and the very first fruits appear. And already some of you have been picking the strawberries and making the strawberry jam. My nails are still red from yesterday's work. So we have the first fruits appearing, and our gardens generally are a delight after a time of planning and of planting. There's only one thing that spoils the Edenic enjoyment that we have, and that is the existence of weeds. Now, if you're a gardener, and if you despise gardening, by the way, that is the way the Lord made the first parents to live in a garden. And so if you don't like gardens, you're going to have a tough time, because the Lord made Adam and Eve to live in the Garden of Eden. And as the song says, that I doubt if the Lord's any closer than in a garden. But in a garden, we have these nice flowers and nice vegetables and nice fruits. But then you also have weeds. And they never, ever seem to get the message that they're not wanted. And they multiply quicker than do the flowers and the vegetables and the fruit. And of course, that's similar to the heart of the believer, because weeds can grow there. In the book of Hosea, you'll find that Hosea tells us, break up your fallow ground. That's ground that was lying vacant. He says, break it up, because there are certain weeds that have to be dug up. And if you read the context of Hosea chapter 10, you'll find there was the weed of selfishness, the weed of unfruitful service, the weed of lovelessness, the weed of falsehood, and the weed of pride, and some others as well. But tonight I want to deal with one particularly obnoxious and difficult weed. It is the one shown here, the root of bitterness. Now, tonight is one of those times where you can bring a message like this, because sometimes if there is some underlying current, then people think you're getting at them when you come to speak upon a subject like this, and they think that you are using the pulpit as a place to get to them. But tonight I'm not aware of anybody who's got a problem with this here. But at the same time, I know that all of us, in different times and in different varying degrees, all of us have to deal with it at times. Now, in our lives, they're like a garden, and the fruits that should be growing there are the fruits of the Spirit. And these are beautiful fruits, love. Nothing wrong with love. Joy is a wonderful thing that God gives to His people. Peace likewise, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And these are lovely graces given to us by the Spirit of God. The sad thing is that the growth of these graces as the fruit of the Spirit, they can be choked to some degree by this wretched root of bitterness that I say all of us at different times and different degrees have had to face in our lives. And so tonight I want to look at this matter here, and I want you to listen carefully. I don't want to berate you. I don't want to come strong to you. But I want you to be aware of the garden of your soul and make sure that you get any remaining pieces of that root out before it causes you further damage. And the first thing I want to look at is the definition. I've often wondered what makes a weed. I remember as a young man in a house not very far from our home in Northern Ireland, there was a man there, and he was reckoned, well, not to be completely straight-minded in his thinking. And he used to, in his flower beds, grow the most beautiful banks of dandelions. And you could call, I went to the bus in the morning, see these dandelions and these flower beds. And he loved them, but his neighbor didn't, because they blew the seeds into their flower beds and they had a tough time with them. So I often wondered what makes a weed, because a dandelion in a field looks very good, all nice and gold. Why is that a weed and other things not weed? Well, a weed is something that is undesirable. It's a troublesome plant that crowds out other desirable crops. So if you want to have a nice lawn, you will find that their weeds will take hold there, and if you leave them, they will soon destroy your lawn and so on. And over in Brandon, Manitoba, there is a research station there, and they have all the time a setting of 40 different weeds growing. And the reason why they have that is so that the farmers can come in and they can see these weeds, learn to identify them, and then learn how to deal with them and to treat them, because some weeds, they do look like legitimate plants. I have one in our house, right in our back garden right now. It's going to be chopped down very shortly, but he's up to about this height now, and he looks like a really good and nice plant. The only thing is, I know he's a weed, and he's got to come down, so he will be dealt with. And we have one before us here, the root of bitterness, which is one ugly plant in the life of the believer. Now, the root word, if you pardon the pun, the root word for bitterness is from the word bitter, of course, and the word bitter is a word that comes from the word to bite. And so the picture is clear that the devil comes along. Now in Ephesians it speaks of fiery darts that he uses. The devil comes along and he bites you. And then the poison courses right through your body. Like if you get a sting from some creature, the poison will course through your body. So when the devil bites you, this bitterness can go right through your life. Now, how do you recognize it? Well, it has some features. And it's kind of difficult, because when you have a weed in your garden, you can see it with your eye. But the root of the bitterness is something that is within inside us. You can't really see it, but you can see the tendencies that come from it. And one of those tendencies is that in various circumstances of life that we find ourselves in, rather than face our own failure, we'll be happy to blame somebody else and say it's their fault. Now, you've seen that so many times in the newspaper recently when something happens to somebody and Oh, my son, he is just a good boy. My daughter, she's a good girl, and yet they've been in some crime or other. And so the tendency is to blame society. It's society's fault that they are the way they are. And so people become bitter because they blame circumstances or they blame other people for their own failures. Then there's another one, and that is this idea of dwelling on our circumstances, as we do sometimes, and we say, well, I have received a raw deal. And so you become consumed with self-pity. And self-pity is a debilitating poison that goes right through the life. And every one of us have faced this at different times. I know that I have had times when I have felt like that. And you feel so sorry for yourself. And all you do is you're cultivating this root of bitterness down within your heart. And then even worse, there's a problem. And that is that when, because of some circumstances, we begin to question the scales of justice and the scales of righteousness in the hands of the Lord and say, why, Lord? Why would you do that to me? Why should I suffer like that? But once you get to that stage, the root has taken real root in your heart and in your life when you begin to question Almighty God. And then another mark of the root of bitterness is when, because of the inner poison going through your life and your soul, you begin then to be super critical or over critical of other people and what they do. And so deep down in our souls, we grow this bitterness and it contaminates everything that we do or we say or we think. It colors all of our thinking. And so the first thing we have to do is define this weed and make sure that we have it dealt with in our own lives. Now we come to the development of the weed, because it says, looking diligently lest any man fail. Now this is one case where the marginal reference in the Bible is wrong. The marginal reference says, fall from. Looking diligently lest any man fall from the grace of God. That is wrong. The correct interpretation is the one that you have on our King James Version here that tells us, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. In other words, that we're losing out with the grace of God because of this root that is deep down in our lives. Now, if this was confined to ourselves, that'd be bad enough. But it tells us here, lest any root of bitterness springing up, so it springs up. In my previous charge in Northern Ireland, we had a lovely house with a lovely garden. My wife's father, I'll mention him a little later on, my wife's father was a tremendous gardener. He worked as a nurse in a mental home for most of his life. And he used to tell me, he says, I like to garden because it keeps me from going mad. And he was a very, very good gardener. And the garden that we had in our house in Tandragee in Northern Ireland, well, it was just a blaze of colour and of beautiful flowers there. And it was so very, very nice indeed. Now, in that garden, we got a thing called Bishop's Weed. Well named, I think. And this thing would grow in your flower beds. You got these nice flowers, but you got this bishop's weed in. And I don't know how many times I dug that rascal out. Not just in one place, but in different places in the garden. And if you left as much as half an inch of a root, a little white root in the ground, it's going to start all over again. And so we had a tough time with that bishop's weed, because it just kept spreading and spreading and spreading, and of course damaging the flowers and destroying them. So if the root of bitterness was just for ourselves, that would be bad enough. But the trouble is, it springs up on other people. They are infected by the problem that we have. Now, there are two sources from this from which we get this root of bitterness. Number one is imaginary events, words and circumstances. You see, our minds are very active, and we can surmise things, and we think that perhaps somebody has something against us. Perhaps they've walked past us and didn't speak to us, and the reason, or we didn't speak to them, the reason was, number one, you're thinking of something else at the time, and you're focusing on something else, and you happen to miss the fact the person was by, and so they interpret that there's something wrong. And they interpret words as well and circumstances, and they reconstruct, and they speculate, and they feel slighted, and they feel bitter inside because so-and-so, I think, did something or didn't do something. And the whole time is that if they took time to check it out, you'd find that the whole thing was imaginary. But the devil is a master at getting thoughts into your mind and getting you to reconstruct them and to speculate and then to feel slighted about them. But then, of course, there are the real events of life and circumstances of life that come along. Sometimes there may be the collapse of some cherished plan. There may be the sickness come in. Some people suffer from dreadfully. I remember when I had my problem a few years ago, I was given a tape by the doctor to look at, and in that tape it showed you men who received the news that I got, and they sit down on their knees on the floor, pounding the floor because they couldn't accept what they had received. But all of us are going to die eventually, and all of us are going to have some vehicle over death, so it's not worth getting bitter about. But some people have become very, very bitter because of a sickness that they have, or perhaps a death, the death of someone that's come along and that causes them to be bitter in their soul and again to blame God. And then sometimes they feel that others have failed them, maybe the church has failed them, and they seem to forget that all of us have feet of clay, no matter who we are. All of us have feet of clay, and all of us need to remember the hymn, "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not even trust your own." So sometimes we have the source of the bitterness coming from imaginary events. Sometimes they are from real events. Now, there are two objects. The first one is Godward, where because of the circumstances or events that have happened, we begin to complain to God. Now, you read the story of Israel, and you'll be grieved yourself to read of the number of times that they grumbled and complained against Almighty God. And then you look in the mirror and realize that we do the very same thing at times, that we complain to Almighty God. And I remember once being mightily convicted by the book of Jonah. Remember, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, went the other way instead of going northeast. He went southwest and went across the Mediterranean and met, of course, the storm. And you know the story well. And he eventually, through the mercy of God, had a second chance and went back there to Nineveh. And he preached the word. And Nineveh repented at that 8-word message that he had for that city. It repented. But Jonah wasn't happy because he thought that they should all have been judged by Almighty God and damned by God. So he went and sat outside the city watching to see if God would destroy it. And God didn't. And Jonah got angry. And then the Lord came to him and said, "Jonah, doest thou well to be angry?" And of course the answer to that is, "No, I do not do well to be angry." And so let us be careful when bitterness comes within, that we do not blame God and begin to get angry against God as Jonah did, and then have to have the Lord come and deal with us. Doest thou well to be angry? But then not just the object of Godward, but also manward. And this is where we've got to be very careful, because when we get bitter inside, we can tell men and women things that we would not tell to God. And we dare not tell to God. But that's foolish, because God knows exactly what's in our mind. He knows the very thoughts of our heart. He knows every word that goes across the threshold of our mouths. And so that's why we have to be very careful with the tongue. I have taught people for years, and myself, to pray that prayer in Psalm 143. Set a watch, O Lord, upon my mouth, and keep the doors of my lips. In other words, Lord, keep the doors closed unless there's something that is right that should be said. But in other words, Lord, keep things quiet and keep me from saying things that I ought not to say that would damage my testimony and would damage the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got two objects, either Godward or to manward. In each case, we need to make sure that we're not being used to spread the poison of bitterness to other people. There are also two dimensions, and the two dimensions are, number one, that individual bitterness can spread. Just like that weed I told you about, a little bit of bitterness here, share it with somebody else, they get it. They share it with somebody else, they get it. And so before long, you've got a lot of bitterness has spread from one individual. We need to be careful that we do not be doing the work for the wicked one. And then again, not just individually, the second dimension is collectively. Because if we entertain bitterness in our soul, then we are actually poisoning collectively the garden of the Lord. And the Lord has this garden, the garden of our lives. And we need to be most careful that we do not poison others in, for example, a congregation like we have here. An experiment was done in the University of Iowa some years ago, and they took a single rye plant, just one single rye plant. And in that experiment, they measured the length of the rooting system that went along the ground, little fine roots. And they came up with a staggering dimension of 378 miles of roots from one rye plant. Now, if you think of this root of bitterness, and if it's just confined to ourselves, that's bad enough, but it gets out and it multiplies and it grows until it has miles and miles of roots that will stretch across and meet many, many people. And the contagion of sin and of bitterness is just as serious as any physical disease that we face here on earth. So we've looked at definition and the development. Now we look briefly at the damage and then look at its control. How can we get control here? Well, it says there, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So the damage here is in the word trouble, because with it you can cause a tumult, and you can cause a division, and you can cause uproar among God's people. Always keep in mind that the unity of the Holy Ghost is the work of the Holy Ghost to keep His people together. But it is the work of the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, to take his little wedge and to hammer it in, and to hammer and hammer, and to force open, and to prise apart that essential unity that God has given to His people. So, be aware of that. That the devil will try to prise you apart. Either in your family, or in maybe a section of the congregation, whatever, that the Lord, the devil would try to get you involved in something. And I always say, let the devil do his own dirty work. Let not us take up his cause and answer his cause and try and advance the cause of the wicked one. And it says there, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. Not just one or two, but many can be defiled from this fountain of bitterness that dwells within the human heart. But not only do you have the trouble collectively, but you have the trouble personally, because it says, lest any root of bitterness trouble you. And so if we allow bitterness to rise up in our hearts and souls, we're the ones that suffer most, because we have it all the time. The people outside, they may hear what we say. They may be infected by what we say, but we have it all the time. It's deep down there in our hearts and souls. And instead of enjoying the love and the joy and the peace of the fruit of the Spirit, they are hindered and tainted by this fountain of bitterness that is within our souls. Now the question comes, how to control it? What do you do about it? Well, I have a little bit of experience with weeds, because we have a nice garden, and my wife and I, we like to keep it nice, and we have to deal with these wretched weeds that grow up in the garden. And I have learned that weeds come out easier when the soil is moist. If you get the hot summer sun beating down on the soil, it gets hard like a brick, and it's very hard to get weeds out. But when there's been a nice shower of rain, they come out quite easily. And so when the soil is moist, well, how can we apply that practically? We can apply it practically by praying, Lord, give us a willing heart to get rid of whatever is dwelling within there, and to pray that the Lord would send us a shower of refreshing rain that will be able to deal with this rascal and to get this thing pulled out by the roots. I've also discovered that weeds can be easily removed when the soil is moist, and also when they're not very big. That means you've got to keep watch. It says here, looking diligently. So you've got to watch your flower beds, your fruit beds, or whatever. You've got to watch them. And when these rascals appear, get them out when they're small. Now, my wife's father, who I've mentioned already, who was a great gardener, he had a couple of things that he did about gardening. One was, he never ever believed in doing anything on the Lord's day in his garden. And that's a good practice, because it is the Lord's day, and his garden's always blessed by the Lord. He had a knack about him of making the most beautiful gardens, but never would he even pull a weed out on the Lord's day. But he had a statement he used to make, which stuck with me, and that is, never let a weed see a Sunday. Now, what does that mean? It means that any weed in your garden cannot be more than 5 or 6 days old. And so therefore, they're easy to get out. The trouble with the root of bitterness is that we do not deal with it all the time. We let it grow and multiply, and the more it grows and multiplies, the worse we get. That's why we need to get at it when it's small, because the devil, he will come and plant something in your mind. It may be imaginary, it may be real, but he'll plant it there. And that's when you need to pray, Lord, remove that thing. Help me, Lord, to get rid of that and to live holily for thee. Now we come to the serious part. Because verse 14 bears importantly upon this subject. Because it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. This is the first thing that Paul tells us here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are to follow peace with all men. Do you remember Joseph in the book of Genesis? How the Lord had blessed Joseph and revealed himself to him on a couple of occasions, and his brothers, they couldn't stand Joseph, this son to whom his father had given the coat of many colors and also obviously loved greatly. They couldn't stand him, and it tells you in the Bible, in Genesis 37:4, they could not speak peaceably to him. Now, in the English, it tells you one thing. When you look at the Hebrew, the word there, peaceably, is the word shalom. And that's the word that the Jewish people to this day say as a greeting. It means peace. And these brothers of Joseph were so bitter against him that they couldn't even bid him time of day and say, peace, shalom. Couldn't do it. And you discover that their words were always barbed with hostility and with suspicion and with criticism and with censure. Just reading Arthur Pink, and Arthur Pink quotes Spurgeon on holiness. And he says, some who have aimed at holiness have made the great mistake of supposing it needful to be morose, contentious, fault-finding, and censorious with everybody else. Their holiness has consisted of negatives, protests, and oppositions for opposition's sake. As Spurgeon goes on to say, their religion mainly lies in contrarieties and singularities, to whom the text offers this wise counsel: follow holiness, but also follow peace. A courtesy is not inconsistent with faithfulness. It is not needful to be savage in order to be sanctified. Then he finishes off this quote by saying, a bitter spirit is a poor companion for a renewed heart. Let your determining principle be sweetened by tenderness toward your fellow men. Be resolute for the right, but also be gentle, pitiful, and courteous. Consider the meekness as well as the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow peace, he says, but not at the expense of holiness. Follow holiness, but do not needlessly endanger peace. So we are called here to deal with this and to follow peace with all men. Now, you can't always do that. You can try, but sometimes it doesn't work, but at least you have made an attempt, and I believe the Lord would bless you for that. So also remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, you can't lightly discount what Jesus Christ said. Blessed are the peacemakers. And so, therefore, we need to seriously examine our own hearts betimes and make sure that we have a forgiving spirit. The Lord would have us be like him. But it gets even more serious, because it says in verse 14, follow peace with all men. Now this, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now that is a very, very strong statement. It is a fearfully emphatic statement given by the Spirit of God to Paul, and he gives it to us here in the Word. Without holiness, no man shall ever see the Lord. Without holiness, it doesn't matter what he may appear to be or she appear to be, but without holiness, they will not see the Lord. Now, if you look across the page in chapter 13, there is that wonderful verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he, the Lord, hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that has been highlighted time and again to people who perhaps don't understand the Greek language. But in that statement, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, there are not one or two, but 5 negatives. I will never, no, never leave thee nor ever forsake thee. So God underlines that statement 5 times. And so we have this wonderful blessing of knowing that the Lord is with us. And if you read that literally, it is not you will I leave, nor not you will I forsake. God will never forsake His people. But there's something in verse 14 of this previous chapter that you will not see in English, and that is when it says there, without which no man shall see the Lord, you have three negatives there. So, looking at that, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God underlines it. So, we got this triple negative, and we cannot follow holiness and harbor bitterness in our hearts at the same time. The weed has to be dealt with. And I come to you tonight as one who's had to deal with it in my own heart at times. We've got to deal with it and not allow it to grow and get out of all proportion and damage the fruits of the Spirit that we are supposed to bring forth unto Almighty God. And you can be many things in life, but if you're not a holy person, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, this means two things. This bitterness in heart means two things. Number one, that the person he's speaking about is not saved. And friend, if you're not saved by the grace of God and have your sins blotted out, that seed will grow there in your heart. And you just look at the world and you'll find that there are many people in the world who are consumed by bitterness against God. In the paper yesterday, it mentioned the number of books that have been written recently purporting to advance atheism at the exclusion of God and mocking people like us who believe in God. And they make it appear that they are very intellectual, that they have studied deeply, and that we are a bunch of rednecks who couldn't even say the alphabet. But I would dare to disagree with them, because I would put John Calvin up against any of them. The Apostle Paul up against any of them. So, if a person is not saved, that root will grow there. It will cause great havoc in your life. But thank God you come to the Lord Jesus, and He can blot out your iniquities, and He can save your soul. So, when the root of bitterness is there, it means one of two things. If it's not checked at all, it's an indication of somebody who doesn't know the Lord. But if it's there, it can also mean, in the life of a believer, not very sanctified. You see, we come to Christ, we're justified as an act of the grace of God, and declared sinless before God. It doesn't mean to say that we live sinlessly here, because we'll never be sinless until we get home to glory and out of the very presence of sin itself. So, once we come to Christ, then we are to grow in the grace of the Lord. And remember how it speaks in the gospel about the field with the wheat and the tares? The wheat is the good fruit, and the tares are the weeds, the bad stuff. And the lives of many believers, you've got the fruit of the Spirit growing there, but you've also got the weeds, and this particular pernicious one here, the root of bitterness. So what do? God, admit it, Lord, it's there. And then pray, Lord, give me a sweet spirit. Give me grace, Lord, to be gracious. And Lord, take away the bitterness of my heart and soul. Oh God, may people see that I have been to the Lord Jesus. And in the garden of my life, may the fruits of the Spirit be clearly seen. And how glorious are those fruits. You need to think about them. Love. Nothing wrong with love. The love that it comes into the heart of the believer, that is a tremendous blessing. And we are to be joyful. We are to be filled with peace. We know the God of peace, and He gives us the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We are to be long-suffering. one that I have to watch because sometimes I'm not very long-suffering. I have to work on it and get the weed out that would choke that one. And then we are to be gentle to all men. We are to be good, basically good. We are to be those who are people of faith, who believe God and believe His promises. And the devil, he would come to plant one of his seeds to cause us to doubt God. But also to be meek. Now, that doesn't mean to be a pushover, because it says in the Bible that Moses is the meekest of all men, and yet Moses was a mighty man of God used in the Exodus and going face to face against a Pharaoh. We're to be meek, and also temperate or moderate in all things. These are lovely graces that should grow in the garden of your life and my life if we know the Lord, because the Holy Ghost comes and dwells within, and He causes these seeds to grow. Now, what, my friend, how does the Holy Spirit feel when He is the indweller of the believer's heart, and right beside him, he's got the devil's root of bitterness? Yesterday, say to the Lord, Lord, dig it out. Get it out. So that we can be like as we read in the Song of Solomon. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's not have the fruit of bitterness, but rather the fruit of the Spirit. And pray today, Lord, help me day by day to come closer to Thee and to live a holy life. Not a perfect life. We can't live a perfect life until we get to glory. But to live a holy life. Because with that, by the grace of God, we will see the Lord. And we'll be with Him forevermore. And we'll be perfectly holy for all eternity. May God bless His word to us. May we look at it honestly and faithfully and say, Lord, make me sweet. Sweeten my heart that the love of Christ may be seen in my life. I close with this. I've been helping our brother Alf Jordan. He's just sold his house and going through the business of getting another place to live near where his wife is. And there's a young woman there in the place they were. He went to see her with regard to getting Alf fixed up. I never met her before, but a wonderful, beautiful Christian spirit. Just to talk to her, you knew, here's somebody that exudes the very fruit of the Spirit. She never met me before. She knew Alf, had seen him a few times, but a beautiful Christian spirit. And I thought, Lord, make us all to be like that. This world be a much nicer place if God's people were living like His garden, where He would come in and out and sup and enjoy the pleasant fruits of the grace of God in our lives. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And, O God, this word has come to rebuke to my own heart, because, Lord, at times I have allowed that root of bitterness to take root and to grow. O God, we thank Thee that Thou art able to help us get victory over it. And we pray, our Father, that Thou would bless each of our people. And where, Lord, the old devil has come and tried to plant that seed and has succeeded, our Father, we pray today that Thou would give them grace to get it pulled out. And, Father, help us, we pray, to live lives that are glorifying to Thee. O God, make us to be a holy people. Thou hast told us that Thou art holy, and therefore we are to be holy, not by our strength, but by the strength of the Holy Spirit. O God, bless us, we pray, and make us a people that do know their God, and who therefore will be able to do exploits. Hear this, our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.